Hello, I'm Enola Leone, and you're tuned into Shrillist, the podcast where we review each episode of the Hulu original series Shrill, spoiler-free, every week, along with discussing topics from the book by Lindy West, including feminism, body positivity, and fat acceptance. Thanks for listening. Hey there, I'm Enola Leone, and this is the very first episode of Shrillist, where we review the Hulu original series Shrill, Season 1, Episode 1, Annie. We're going to dive right in. Season 1 of Shrill was released on March 15th, 2019 on Hulu. Episode 1, Annie, was directed by Jesse Peretz and written by A.D. Bryant, Alexander Rushfield, and Lindy West. So in walks Annie. Annie, played by the absolutely hilarious and dynamic A.D. Bryant, our resident fat girl, totally lovable, a dog mom to this cute dog we find out who's named Bonkers. I took one look at Annie in that oversized sweater and leggings with that dog, and I raised my hand and I said, "Yep, that's me." That was my initial reaction to the character based solely on her body and how I could relate to her. We then, of course, see Annie in her room struggling to try on various outfits that cling to her body while trying to ineffectively stretch them out before diving into a prepackaged diet meal. This was a very familiar sensation for me and probably all of us fat girls out there. Where we've been told we need to diet, where we've been told that our clothes can't cling to our bodies. Eventually, Annie chooses to wear this clingy shirt, but cover it up with this oversized black mini dress, which I look at it and the horror of it is something that I think about every time that I watch this episode, which I've watched several times now. Okay, so fast forward to the next scene. In the coffee shop, we meet the character of Tanya. Tanya is a personal trainer. Annie runs into her because Annie's having a giggle at a poster on the wall where there's a picture of Tanya kicking the ass of pizza, and she's got tabs. She wants to help you mold your body. Not a bad thing. A lot of people are personal trainers. We get it. Exercise is what you love. No shame in that. But Tanya makes it her personal mission to help Annie through fat shaming with quotes like, "There is a small person inside of you dying to get out." How many times as a fat girl or a fat individual have you heard something like that from a friend, from a family member, from an absolute stranger? It happens all of the time. And she doesn't stop there. She says, "You could be so pretty if you just let yourself. If you exercised and you lost the weight and you became the thin person inside of you dying to get out." This is sort of what I'm surmising from that particular quote. And the idea that as someone with a body that doesn't fit into societal beauty standards, that you are not pretty, is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I had a couple thoughts about this, and I'm just thinking to myself, hey, fat shaming in the form of condescending backhanded compliments and caring observation of Annie's body is not okay. I'm sort of screaming at this point internally at the screen, like, excuse me, what gives you the right to say these things? Instantly, this recalled almost every conversation for me that I've ever had with my mother while shopping for clothing, with her projecting her own hate of her body on me through an obsession with my body. This is something that happens every time I go shopping with my mother. So for me, I avoid that situation, which is a bit sad because I want to spend time with my mom. I love my mom, but it's something that I can't avoid. She will always pick out something for me that is either too big because she's assuming I'm bigger than I am, or too small, or something that I would never wear. And it always leads to an argument. You've probably had experiences like this with your own mother. We love them. It's difficult. If you've read Shrill by Lindy West, she articulates just how harmful fat shaming is to self-esteem. And if you're listening and saying to yourself, but Enola, what even is fat shaming? It involves criticizing and harassing overweight people about their weight or their eating habits to make them feel ashamed of themselves. Essentially, it's a misguided way to use shame as a way to motivate someone to lose the excess weight, which research shows has the complete opposite effect. As a fat woman who grew up hating her body, I can tell you that when you fat shame someone, even out of concern, the long-lasting effects are extremely damaging psychologically. So at this point, I want to bring up a quote from Lindy West from the book Shrill. And we'll bring this up again because it does come up later in the series. Apologies for the spoiler alert. But Lindy West wrote a response slog article to her then editor at The Stranger in response to his fat shaming called Hello, I Am Fat. And here's a quote. I have lived in this body my whole life. I have wanted to change this body my whole life. I have never wanted anything as much as I have wanted a new body. I am aware every day that other people find my body disgusting. I always thought that someday, when I finally stop failing, I will become smaller. And when I become smaller, literally everything will get better. My own experience with being body shamed by complete strangers, along with my family and friends, caused me to practice self-loathing and develop not one, but two eating disorders. Issues with impulse control, social phobia of being out where others could see me and judge my body, and contributed to my major depressive episodes during my formative years. Body shaming doesn't only affect how an overweight person views themselves, but how they interact with the world. And that has been my experience. One specific example was, I think when I was 18 years old, I was at a restaurant with some friends and I was wearing black and white Adidas clothing. And from across the restaurant, there was a group of adults who were probably middle-aged, and they were yelling across the restaurant at me, calling me an orca whale. So I can say, have you ever had that experience where out of nowhere, strangers are snickering at you because you're overweight or because they feel that in some way it's their place to judge your body and make a joke out of it? If you've had that experience, write to me. I want to know about it. Shrillistcast@gmail.com. Okay, so after the encounter with Tanya at the coffee shop, we're jumping into the scene with Annie at the office. Here we meet Annie's coworkers at the Weekly Thorn, Amadi, who is the seemingly supportive friend at work, Ruthie, the, I think, personal assistant to the boss, who is very rude, and Gabe, who is basically Annie's dictator of a dismissive boss. Both of which succeed in minimizing Annie and her contributions in her role at the publication within probably a 5-minute period. I personally was very frustrated with Annie both in this scene and the last one because she wades through the bad behavior and doesn't stand up for herself. And that's something that's sort of a trend throughout this episode. However, I do recognize that we are conditioned as women to not be confrontational, and that as fat people, we often accept body shaming and other insulting remarks from our peers because we often feel that our bodies are a strike against us. So we have to make up for our fatness by being pleasant or proper or quiet and making ourselves small socially because we are not small physically. We've been conditioned that this is the right thing to do to avoid upsetting or offending others. And if that's something that you felt in your life, again, I want to hear from you. I want to hear about it. I'm here to tell you that this behavior is total bullshit. We can make waves, be assertive, and defend ourselves while still maintaining our humility. The pushback we'll get from standing up for ourselves and demanding respect will be far less than living with constant self-doubt and feeling like a small and insignificant person at the end of the day. So yeah, I mean, with this scene, I'm just saying to myself, Annie, raise your voice, please. bite back. And then we move on to the next scene where we meet Ryan after Annie receives the text that just says, fuck, question mark. So Annie gets her sexed from Ryan, and we cut to the scene of Annie and Ryan having sex, all the lights off, middle of the day, curtains drawn, half of her clothes on, and she indicates that removing her bra and being completely naked and exposed makes her uncomfortable. Again, this situation is super familiar to me as a fat girl being naked in a body that the majority of society rejects and labels as disgusting or unhealthy has a psychological impact on our interpersonal relationships and how we feel being naked in front of others, whether it's a close loved one, friend, parent, or in a locker room at the gym. I'm no stranger to having a loosely defined sexual relationship with someone who isn't eager to define it, while also feeling somewhat trapped. As someone who doesn't often receive romantic attention, I would usually convince myself that everything about this sexual arrangement was okay because it felt good to be noticed, to be wanted and desired. Consensual flirting feels good. And that's sort of the dynamic of Annie and Ryan's relationship that we get when we're first meeting them in this context. We come to find out that Ryan and Annie haven't been using contraception and they've been sleeping together for 6 months. Annie asks him to dinner, which he declines. And then the really awful part of the entire transaction is that he proceeds to hide her from his roommates by having her go out the back entrance of the house, indicating that while he may be okay with his attraction to her in private, he is ashamed of anyone else knowing that. And that's really the vibe that we get from this scene. Again, this is totally relatable. As a bystander, I'm pleading on the other end of the screen with Annie to stop demanding less and accepting being treated that way. And really at the end of the scene, I'm sort of thinking to myself, man, Ryan's a dick. Why are you hanging out with this guy? But at the same time, as someone who's been in similar situations, I get it. This is someone you met that actually wants to have sex with you and makes you feel good. And there's this idea that when you are overweight, somehow you are less deserving of love and respect. And so when you get even a little bit of attention, you don't want that attention to stop. So cut to Annie running out of the back door to Ryan's house as they part with like a kiss, and it seems romantic, but really it's not that romantic. Annie then has to walk through the backyard and struggle to get over the fence to Ryan's house into the alleyway, which seems super difficult. I'm not physically fit enough to jump a fence myself. And she then makes her way to the pharmacy and not back to work like she indicated she was going to do. And I'm just sitting here kind of like, okay, we're at the pharmacy. Annie goes up to the pharmacy counter with this basket full of crap that obviously she doesn't need. She just felt like she needed to buy a bunch of stuff in order to request what she actually wants, which is the morning after pill. And the whole situation with the pharmacy assistant is very awkward and cringy. And I'm just thinking to myself, how is it that in our late 20s and 30s, in the year 2019, as independent women, we still are meant to feel shame when requesting any form of contraception or buying a pregnancy test. It's crazy to me. And part of this is based on where you live and, you know, what your background is, whether it's in terms of religion or socioeconomics. But we can go super deep into the topic of women's rights to govern their own bodies as they see fit. But that's a bigger conversation. And instead, you can write to Shrillist about it on Twitter at ShrillistCast or email us at shrillistcast@gmail.com with your comments if you want to talk a little bit more about a woman's right to choose, govern her own body, take contraception, all of that good stuff. So the next thing we're going to do is go back to Annie's house and meet the fabulous Fran, Annie's roommate. So back to Annie's house, we meet Fran, Annie's blunt and fabulously queer noncommittal roommate, who's very no bullshit, but sincere in her friendship with Annie. And it's super refreshing to see after all the would-be assholes that we've encountered up to this point in the first episode of the show. And Fran, I think this moment is very important because Fran offers Annie this seemingly flashy dress that Annie rejects. And she rejects it because it's something off the rack. And she says, I don't know if I could pull it off. Now, how often do we say things like this to ourselves to talk us out of taking a risk when it comes to fashion? As an overweight woman, clothing options have come a long way in the last 15 years, but I still find it extremely difficult. And we are very limited and more often than not directed to do our shopping online versus in store. I say to myself, why are we segregating the fat people from shopping with everyone else? Why? Why are people that struggle to find the right fit when it comes to clothing for their bodies needing to go and have that shopping experience online where we can't even try on the piece of clothing first, where we have to jump through the hoops of returning things after we try them on and ordering a new size? So clothing stores that actually offer options in store for plus size bodies, firstly, thank you, because if I didn't have that option, one, for instant gratification when I want to buy something new, and two, for being able to find the right fit for something instead of just looking at a picture of it and hoping that it will fit, is huge for me. And then my own experience here, because I've been thinking about this for a little bit, is why am I so afraid of wearing color in my wardrobe? When I think about it, I have a wardrobe that is all black. And it is not all black just because I like the color black and it's easy to match black with black. It's because I am actually scared of calling attention to my body with colors, with something that will say, hey, look at me, which is in some cases what these pieces of clothing are meant to do. It's a way for you to express yourself and your personality. But as a fat girl, I also have been conditioned to hide my body, hide my personality, and the things that I like in black clothing. Now, is this something that you have felt yourself? And it's not about whether or not I wear leggings instead of jeans, which I do, basically for comfort, but it's just interesting because I was thinking to myself, why do I wear only black? Because I used to try to wear colors, but there was just something about it that put me off because I also have sort of been conditioned to not be able to take compliments from people either. So, and that has to do with what I wear. So I'm curious if you've ever felt that way. If you have, write to us at Trillist. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories. I know that I've often asked myself why this experience is the norm for those of us with bigger bodies having to shop online. If you, listener, have any thoughts, let us know why you think online shopping is the norm for plus size clothing. But then in comes Bonkers. Okay, we're back to the dog. We're back to the scene with Fran and Annie in the house. They're talking about the clothing and why Annie says she couldn't pull it off. And in comes the dog with a mouthful of bloody tampon. And boom, we discover that she hasn't had her period in a while. And it's time for Annie to get a pregnancy test. So we're back at the pharmacy. I love this scene with the pregnancy test because how many of us are going to buy a pregnancy test and then just instantly go and use it in the bathroom? Probably a lot of us. Annie buys a pregnancy test. She takes it into the bathroom of the pharmacy only to attempt to exchange the test, convinced that it's a false positive due to being diligent about taking the morning after pill. Like, here's a couple things. Annie, you seem smart. the morning after pill, not 100% effective. And then what Annie finds out from the pharmacist is that the morning after pill is only dosed for women under 175 pounds. You would think that with all the times that Annie has gone to buy the morning after pill, which she indicates is like 10 plus times, that someone behind the pharmacy counter would have said, "Are you under 175 pounds? And as a medical professional, you wouldn't have been like, "How dare you ask me my weight?" They would have looked at you and maybe made the assumption that you're not the right weight for the dosage of the morning after pill and said like, "Hey, this may not be effective for you. See your doctor." So this episode was clearly a way to paint the picture that the world is more often than not fundamentally against fat bodies, including in the forms of contraception available to us. And it's very frustrating. So Annie is frustrated in this scene saying like, "Hey, what the fuck? Why did I not know this? Why is this not dosed for me?" And she wants to write an article about it. So eventually she goes to talk to Gabe about writing an article because this experience she had, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But from this point, we actually jump over to a scene at an outdoor thrift mall with Fran and Annie. And Annie's telling Fran about the pregnancy and explaining why she justified not using contraception with Ryan, which is just something I think we've all heard way too often. She says, because he liked her and she didn't want him to stop liking her, so she just went with it. So how often have we as women done things maybe out of character for us because someone liked us and we didn't want them to stop liking us? And this doesn't have to be a significant other or a romantic interest. This could be a friend. This could be anyone. And how often have we done something that's made us uncomfortable or outside of the norm of what we would do because we didn't want someone to stop liking us? We felt that social pressure to do something outside of our comfort zone that maybe wasn't the best thing to do or the right thing to do in that moment. And, you know, whether or not you use contraception isn't really the issue, or everyone can make their own choice, but you know, why do we let being liked influence us to do things that we wouldn't normally do? That's pretty much peer pressure that we're all familiar with. So Annie just painfully and tearfully, for the first time the entire episode, expresses how she feels about herself and calls out the pressure to fit into societal norms regarding body size and all the things she believes she can never have because of her weight. And it's very heart-wrenching and very relatable. She convinces herself that she is nice enough, that if she is nice enough and easygoing enough with any guy, that it would be enough despite her body. So if you're pleasant, if you're proper, if you're likable, then that means that someone, regardless of your body size, will like you. You can't have a personality. You can't be objectionable. And that's really harmful. And she admits that she thinks of herself in this way all the time. And Fran tells her that that way of thinking of herself is something that she's been trained to do, and that it's incredibly harmful to Annie to think that way. And really, Fran is that first voice of reason to say like, "Hey, that's an extremely fucked up way to think about yourself. And it's not okay. And we need to untrain you to think that way." So after this moment with Annie and Fran, we follow Annie to her parents' house where we meet her mom and dad for the very first time. So some observations from this scene. We witness the familiar mother-daughter relationship between Annie and her mother, and circle back to the helpful body shaming behaviors that are a theme throughout this episode, along with her mother's projection of what a healthy body and diet should be. I've experienced this myself. We learn that Annie's father is undergoing treatment for cancer. We see this very loving and sweet relationship dynamic between Annie's mother and father. before we exit the scene. And I feel that this is an interesting and not so relatable view that Annie has of her parents. For me personally, given that my parents separated when I was 2 years old, my family is highly dysfunctional. My parents combined have been married a total of 8 times. That is a lot of extended family, a revolving door of step-parents, and added childhood stress. So Annie hasn't had that experience. She has grown up as a fat kid, but her parents are together and seemingly in a very committed, loving relationship. So admittedly, I got in just under the wire to be considered a millennial. And our generation in the last 30 years has been a steady decline in the divorce rate, with only 38% of millennials being children of divorced parents. When I was 10 years old, this is a personal story, my then stepmother, who I believe was in her 20s at the time, introduced me as a child to the concept of body shaming by waging war on my weight. I was not allowed to eat with my brothers or have the same foods that they had. I could only eat plain sandwiches. I was forced to care for her toddler, clean the house every day that summer instead of playing outside with everyone else, and made to sleep on the floor. My stepmother was emotionally abusing me because I looked like my father's ex-wife, my mother. And this had a long-term effect on my relationship with food and was the start of my conditioning that as a punishment for my weight, I would be deprived of things. Being fat was bad and there was something wrong with me. That was sort of the lesson that I was being taught by my stepmother at the time. And this concept is something that I still struggle with every day, 25 years later. Body shaming has a long-lasting and damaging impact. So if you take nothing else away from this podcast, take away the real consequences of body shaming and train yourself out of doing it to others, because it's extremely harmful. And that is one situation from my childhood that I still vividly remember that has stuck with me all these years later. So we're back with Fran and Annie. Annie has made the decision to move forward with getting an abortion. Annie and Fran go through the abortion process together, and afterward they bask in a sunroom as if there's a musical montage coming. But instead, we just flip to the next scene. So the abortion scene is very short. It is a little hard to pick up on the nuances of the scene, but we do see that while Annie is involved in the procedure, Fran is invited in as a support person, and Annie, as the doctor is saying, like, hey, okay, we're going to do this, as she's walking through the procedure, we see Annie and her internal struggle in that moment and her emotions as she's going through this procedure that she never thought she'd have to face in her life, and how difficult it is for her, because it does have a big impact on women, whether or not we want to be parents, whether or not we're pro-choice. It's a very emotional thing to go through. And now I haven't experienced it myself, but I'm sure a lot of folks out there have, and everyone has their own way of coping with it and their own stories. And we do find out, if you've read Shrill, that Lindy West did go through this experience, and this is actually a scene that's taken from her life and the book for the television series. Enter the power dress. This is what I like to call it. I like to call it the power dress. Annie puts on the bright orange floral mini dress that she previously convinced herself not to try on, saying, you know, I just don't know if I could pull it off. But now she's wearing it. It's the next day. You can already tell from just sort of like what feels like the spring in her step, the tone of her voice, the light in her eyes, that she's feeling confident. This is a really empowering moment in the show. Annie is feeling herself. She even says so, and I'm very much about it. So Annie begins to change her mindset. She starts to feel good and reflects on her childhood of being overweight but happy with big dreams. Annie feels powerful, and she's embracing herself as if She's in tune with herself for the first time. And we follow her through several smaller scenes up to the end of the episode. So we're just going to go through each one. First of all, she bursts through Ryan's front door. She does not sneak through the yard through the back door. She has no invitation. She introduces herself unshamefully to Ryan's roommates and tells him about the abortion situation. And one thing that I love is that when she walks through his front door, she says to his roommates, "Hey, I'm Annie. I'm the girl that Ryan's fucking." Mm. And she's just totally unashamed about it. And she's like, "You know what? I don't care. Who knows who I am? I am me, and you can accept me for me and share that with the people in your life because I'm important to you, or I'm not important to you, and that's why you're hiding me away." That's sort of the sense that I get from that moment. But Annie says to Ryan, "I shouldn't have to trap you into treating me like I'm a human being." And that is so powerful because, shocker, fat people are humans too, deserving of the same respect and care as anyone at a socially acceptable size. And I even hate saying that, socially acceptable size, because it's complete bullshit and we all know it. Or maybe you don't know it. There's a lot of different opinions about what's acceptable in terms of size in our society, but I don't think that Annie's value should be diminished as a human being based on her size. And it should be that way. It shouldn't be that way for any of us. So Annie, she speaks to everything that we've been witnessing throughout the episode. She says, "I've been letting other people dismiss me." She's been insulted and condescended to about her body, her transformation into someone willing to stand up for herself and demand respect in these moments is really awesome to see. And I think so important. It's not a winning moment for Ryan. While he is receptive to everything that Annie is putting out there, we find out that he's got a 14-year-old son that Annie had no idea about. And she's just like, "What the fuck? You have a kid?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, he's a dual citizen in America and Canada. It's pretty cool." It's like, okay. Yeah, I think Ryan is a bit, I don't know. Ryan, he's an interesting character for me. He's like that lovable dope, right? That you just are like, oh, he's just, you know, he's just Ryan. And we all have a Ryan in our lives, I think. So essentially, Annie dumps him. Go Annie. And walks out the door. And Annie goes back to her office to pitch the story that we talked about earlier about contraception or the morning after pill only being dosed for women under 175 pounds. So she's pitching the story to Gabe about writing the article about the morning after pill not working for plus size women, to which he doesn't even listen. And he just flat out says no. And in that moment, Annie stands up for herself. And to her surprise, Gabe is very receptive to her self-respecting attitude and agrees to let her write the article or do coverage for another article. So not necessarily writing that article, but says, yeah, okay, you can write the food follow. Or something else. And there is a part earlier on in the episode where Gabe stops Annie. He puts his hands around her face and calls her a millennial dumpling, which is just so cringy. Like, one, you're my boss, don't fucking touch me. Two, how dare you judge me for being a millennial and also call me a dumpling? That was something I wanted to sort of tether back to because it's just so insulting. But essentially we close to Annie walking down the street in her power dress, and she runs into Tanya, who's telling her not to settle for being fat, totally unsolicited, as most body shaming behaviors are. And Annie has this great moment where she's just like, Tanya's walking away back into the coffee shop, and Annie's like, "Fuck you." And it's great. And it's not okay that she's making herself small and being polite anymore. And she recognizes that. Tanya hears her and exclaims, "I was just trying to help you, you fat bitch." And there's that sense of entitlement, resentment towards fat bodies, and just sheer volatility within Tanya that is just so disgusting to me in our society. But you know what? Annie walks away down the street, face to the camera with the biggest smile on her face, and you just want to give her a high five. And it's awesome. I love it. And honestly, from this point on, I'm ready for episode two and, you know, hanging out more with Annie and following her on her journey. Hey, thanks for listening to the very first episode of Shrillist, the podcast where we review the Hulu original series Shrill, talk about feminism and the body positive movement. I'm Enola Leone. If you want to find me on Twitter, you can reach me at ThatEnolaCat. You can also reach out to us at ShrillistCast on Twitter or email us ShrillistCast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories. Whether you've been watching the show, haven't been watching the show, have something to say about fat shaming, body positivity, fat acceptance, we'd love to hear your stories. And if you want to be on the show, reach out to us because we'd love that too. Thanks for listening.